This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? This is Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, HAWGSports.com. Well, it's been a pretty quiet national signing day for Arkansas. 16 signees already in the book. One got out of his letter of intent, obviously, in Ashton Bethel Roman. So, been a pretty quiet day, which was otherwise kind of a holiday just a few years ago. We're going to talk about that. Danny West is going to hop on with us. We're still going to recap this signing class and talk a little bit about it. A lot of these guys are obviously already enrolled at Arkansas. And we're going to talk latest in baseball. We're going to talk latest basketball and football. Guys, spring football is just a month away. All that and more on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. I already know you guys know how to watch YouTube, Facebook Live, subscribe, follow, all that stuff. Give us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. I want to mention this, too. Right now, today is the last day you can get Hog Sports for 60% off. So that's February 7th for those listening or watching later. It's February 7th at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. 60% off at Hog Sports, HAWGSports.com. And that's important because we're coming up on the Arkansas Sports Cluster. What I like to call it. You got baseball starting up, spring football starting up. You got recruiting, a quiet period, which means prospects can start visiting campus. Baseball, football, basketball, recruiting, all together, all at one time. It is, in my opinion, the busiest time for Razorback sports, maybe aside from fall camp, which is just football every day, 6 days out of 7 days a week. But this is a lot. And also, I'm happy to announce we've got our team together at HogSports.com. It's been a lot hiring two people lately. We've added Jackson McAfee, who's going to be our lead baseball guy, and helping us with all sports, of course. It's all hands on deck for football, obviously. And Connor Goodson, our most recent addition, who's going to lead the way for us in basketball recruiting. So go follow Connor Goodson, at Connor Goodson, and Jackson McAfee, at JMcAfee247 on Twitter, and you can get all the latest Razorback. Of course, me and Danny West have been with Hog Sports for a long time. I'm coming up on 21 years at Hog Sports, and Danny, I believe, Danny is 11 or 12 years, I think. So since he's just been full-time, he was obviously on the site forever. So team finally together, and it's an important time because it is the Arkansas Sports Cluster. Come see what we have at Hog Sports for 60% off right now, HAWGSports.com. Breaks down to $42.96 for the entire year. That's 12 cents a day, 83 cents a week, $3.58 a month for Hog Sports. Plus, I mean, there's so many other great things you get with Hog Sports. I mean, not just the articles, but the message board, the crystal ball, the recruiting scoop. Go check us out if you haven't done so already. That ends tonight. So this sucks. Peyton Stovall is out 4 to 6 weeks. This is from a report from Melissa Orange on Pig Trail Nation. Out 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, Dave Van Horn just talked about, you know, developing infield chemistry, getting guys working together and stuff. And then this happens. He had a torn labrum also last year in May. Played 38 games for him. So that stinks. this was a broken, I don't know if I mentioned broken foot. So he, on the scrimmage the other day, there was a pitch. Let me see if I can find the full information. All right, so happened Monday at the scrimmage. I was there with Jackson. He was hit by a pitch on the right foot by Tate McGuire. in his first at-bat. So, yeah, he tore his labrum in May of 2023. He played 38 games last year, batted .253 with 5 home runs, 31 RBI before the year was cut short. So, definitely disappointing, but it's not going to require surgery, according to Alyssa. So, all right, let's get to basketball real quick. So Arkansas has been off for basically since Saturday. I mean, you might say they've been off longer than that. They didn't show up in Baton Rouge. They lost 95-74. Really disappointing the way that game played out, considering how well they played against Kentucky in a loss at home and then went on the road and, you know, probably played their best game, albeit against a Missouri team that's, what, 0-8 in conference play. But still, like, teams weren't just, like, doing some of the things that Arkansas was doing to them, putting 91 points on them after a really tough home game against Kentucky, being able to get up and go on the road for that one. But, 95-74. That was a game where you looked at and said, okay, this is a, you know, kind of a middle-of-the-pack LSU team. It's on the road. Let's see if they come out and fight. Not even thinking, like, win, but just see if they come out and fight and, you know, build on the last two games that they had, and just did not do that, and very disappointing. There's been all kinds of rumors going around. Some people say that players have been suspended. Some people are saying players are thrown out of practice. There's all other kinds of salacious rumors that have been going on. According to Connor, that's not accurate in terms of players like quitting the team and all that kind of stuff, like has been reported through the rumor mill and stuff. It's been, as I've said, filling the void of victories with salacious rumors. That has been what's going on at Arkansas right now. It's disappointing to see, but that's how things are. I mean, I've said before, like with Nolan Richardson, it wasn't rumors so much, but there wasn't the same social media. But when he started being slightly above average as a coach, everybody started talking about player grades. Players aren't making good enough grades all of a sudden, you know, now that they're not winning every game. So it's been disappointing with basketball and then, you know, all the rumors and stuff on top of it. Devo Davis is back with the team now. That's surprising. I thought Devo Davis was probably done. There's a lot of mixed reactions to that. You know, there's, you know, people who like take every rumor they hear as fact of how things, you know, broke up and, you know, disappointed that he's back. Other people are happy that he's back. I think, you know, Devo hasn't played very well this year, but I can remember some of the things that he did well. I would like to see Devo years down the line being a guy that's remembered as being a Razorback, you know, and obviously this stuff has been real disappointing. But, I mean, he missed 3 games, didn't he? Was it 3? He missed the second half against Ole Miss. That was coach's choice. Kentucky, Missouri, LSU. So he was back at practice on Monday, according to Musselman. This is from his radio show. Was that Monday also? Tuesday? I can't even remember. But anyway, so Arkansas up next has Georgia. This is Saturday, 5 o'clock. When is that? 5 o'clock on SEC Network. Georgia is 14-8, 4-5 overall. They beat Arkansas like 76-66 in Athens last time out. When was that? 76-66 on January 10th, last time these two teams faced each other. So, coming back to Bud Walton Arena, got Devo Davis back. I wish that they would address some of this stuff, like publicly, like not the rumors, not the salacious rumors and stuff. Obviously, you know, the policy for most media, handling media with that for most organizations, if like there are rumors like that, we don't even address the rumor, you know. That's been the kind of policy. But with Devo, I was talking with Randy yesterday on Drive Time, and I think he's got a good point, or maybe it was Rick, that they should bring Devo Davis out. Eric Musselman's got a press conference on Friday. Let's hear from Devo Davis. I mean, Razorback fans, like, we want to know, and obviously, you know, I mean, there's a part of being, like, guarded against, you know, certain stuff, but, you know, if you put Devo in front of the media is not going to ask him about, you know, some of the ridiculous stuff that's been going on and being discussed. You know, they're going to ask him about what happened with this situation. Why did you walk away from the team, and what happened to lead you back to the team now? Maybe cooler heads. Maybe just time heals all wounds, that kind of stuff. Maybe, I don't know, but it's certainly a different age in college basketball, in college sports, in sports period. I mean, you don't see players often leave a team and then come back three games later. So, in addition, bouncing around a little bit, Hunter Dietz is going to come back from elbow surgery in April. This is Arkansas's freshman pitcher they really like. 6'6", 230 lefty out of Calvary Christian in Clearwater, Florida. He was 9-0 as a freshman, 1.47 ERA, 102 strikeouts, and 57 innings of work. So, just a little bit of injury news with baseball. Baseball starting up. Where's my baseball schedule? Is it the 13th or the 14th or the 15th? The 16th. It's a four-game series against James Madison. Okay, yeah. Friday, February 16th. First pitch is at 3 o'clock. Now, Dave Van Horn was kind of saying, you know, I think hoping to get at least three games in on this four-game series. But 3 o'clock, SEC Network Plus on all of these, then 2 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday, and then noon on Monday. And then it's off to the college baseball series in Arlington, which Dave Van Horn, I was at the Swatters Club the other day. When was that, Monday? I can't get my days together, y'all. It's been spinning. But, you know, he was saying, you know, they'd play in this series every single year if they were invited to. So, baseball, full swing, no pun intended. Speaking of puns, football's coming up, and it's about to be iron sharpens iron time. You're about to hear a lot of iron sharpens iron, people. I don't know why this is such a commonly used phrase, but like it's almost like in press conferences, every time a player says iron sharpens iron, you take a drink. And, you know, I was looking it up. I looked it up because I was like, is that really the best way to sharpen iron? And it turns out it's not. Anybody know what this is? It's a whetstone. This is the best way to sharpen iron. It's not iron. They need more whetstones up there with Razorback football. I don't know why that became so common, but you're going to hear it every press conference we have. You know, offense going against the defense, iron sharpens iron, or iron sharpens iron. And when it happens, you got to take a drink. That's the rule. It's going to happen a lot. Every press conference, iron sharpens iron. Might need to rename this podcast Iron Sharpens Iron, the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast, just because you're going to hear it so much. Get a whetstone. Razorback football needs a whetstone. All right, so I mentioned the spring football schedule before on past shows, but it hasn't been officially released yet, but still thinking Thursday, March 7th, go five practices, the 8th, the 10th, the 12th, the 14th. This is my best guess based on history, based on what I've heard. So 7th, 8th, 10th, 12th, 14th. Spring break is 18th through the 22nd. That's the Monday through the Friday, so it doesn't include the weekends. Come back the 26th, go every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, up until the last week where you go Tuesday, Thursday, Friday on April 12th, and then Saturday, red-white game. Last year, the red-white game was at noon, so I'm thinking Saturday, April 13th at noon for the red-white game this year. That's my best guess. It's not official. Don't create ironclad plans. While you're sharpening your iron, don't create ironclad plans. Okay, so recruiting calendar. Obviously, today is National Signing Day. Nobody signing with Arkansas. In fact, last week we found out Ashton Bethel Roman is no longer with the team. That was Thursday, I believe. No longer enrolling with the team. He was one of, I think, four freshmen. Him, Cross Johnson, who are both wide receivers, and then two linebackers, ironically. And Bradley Shaw and Wyatt Simmons. Those are the only four players who are not enrolling early out of the 16 freshmen who have signed. All the transfer additions are enrolling early. By the way, I spoke with Branson Hickman, who is the center for SMU who's entered the transfer portal. He entered the transfer portal late. He's graduating in May, and somehow, I guess, since he's graduating in May, they let him go ahead and enter the transfer portal. So he's in there now. He's going to visit Arkansas probably early, mid-March. I spoke to him a little bit about that and really intrigued. Got connections to Fayetteville. His roommate in college is from Fayetteville. So he's been, you know, stayed at his parents' house, been up here, loves the area. One of his high school teammates, his dad was head coach at Jesuit Preparatory something in Dallas. Can't remember the name exactly, but his dad's head coach there. Anyway, one of his teammates played for played under Eric Mateos at Baylor, so he's able to, you know, get some information from him. So you know, and he's got some other schools from the Power Four now is what we're calling it that are interested in him. But he's a guy that could really fit because they need, you know, Pittman says they want to look at a guy, a guard center type who can come in. I think they need at least two more offensive linemen, at least two more. I mean, they've got, what, 14 on scholarship right now, 13 or 14. I mean, that's just not enough. I got the scholarship chart I can bring up here in a second. But that's just not enough offensive linemen. You need 15 bare minimum, bare bones minimum 15, and really 17, I think, is the ideal number. That gives you an extra tackle, gives you an extra guard. You're going to have injuries. We want to be able to roll three teams out there to get some practice. You want to have a good quality scout team out there. I think it's 17 offensive linemen you need. But with the way the scholarship numbers are right now, I think they're at 82 overall. Let me see.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
I'm going late on you, Danny, but we're going to bring you in here in a second. All right, so scholarship distribution for offensive line, just to be accurate, 14 offensive linemen right now is what they have. They need two more. They need another guard and another tackle, another guard center and another tackle. And, you know, Nichols is a guard center. You know, Hickman, if they can land him, he's a center. So that gives them – you need some more than one guy that can snap the ball. You need some viable options there who can snap the ball for you. All right, recruiting calendar before we get to Danny West. So right now is a dead period. The dead period started, let's see, there was a contact period January 12th through the 3rd, and obviously you saw our reports of coaches are out on the road. February 4th was a quiet period. That allowed players, recruits who were on campus to, you know, leave, because quiet period means you can be on campus visiting, but you can't, coaches can't be off campus visiting. So that was February 4th. The dead period started the 5th, and that runs through March 3rd. So we're basically essentially in a 4-week dead period right now. So that means no on or off campus in-person communication between coaches and recruits. Now, the quiet period starts March 4th and runs through April 14th. So that's going to take you all the way up to this next contact period. So the quiet period, again, means recruit. You're going to see recruits visiting campus. April becomes a very important month. You start seeing a lot of commitments. April, May, June seems to be a really big month for commitments, July too. But you start really seeing them kind of creep in April. And then the contact period, April 15th through the 25th. We talked about that a little bit. You get 140 days to send coaches out. If you send seven coaches out in 1 day, that counts as 7 days. So that's the recruiting calendar that is coming up. All right, let's go to Danny, who I told I'd get to a while back, and I'm running behind on him. Should I just say call Danny West?
What's up?
Hey, Danny, sorry I'm a little delayed on you. I said I'd get to you sooner.
That's all right.
Will you still do the show?
I reckon.
All right.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, all this recruiting news today that happened. I mean, it was obviously a busy day, February 7th. A lot of people take off. I was getting a message from 7 years ago.
Hey, I'll take it, man. Anymore, especially when you double it up with the transfer portal nowadays. I mean, you'll take it a quiet February. It was expected, you know. Arkansas was not expecting anything major to happen today. I think they're sitting on 16 total high school additions right now. That's a really low number.
Yeah.
As you know, I think, without going back too far, I think it's the lowest one I've ever covered. 2018, I want to say, only had 18 signees. That was, of course, Chad Morris's first class, and that one finished 45th in the country, whereas this one, you've got two fewer guys, but somehow still hanging around 30, and the somehow there is you're getting better players. So, you know, it's a good class, Trey. I keep telling people that. I know people see the rankings and see what they, you know, they're going to make what they want of it. 15th in the SEC, that's not good. Right. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Well, if you took 10 more, matters. Right? If you took 10 more with the average star ranking of the players that they have, then this would be in the top 20, easily in the top 25.
Yeah, probably top 15. I played with the calculator a little bit last night, and you know, just thinking if they had held on to Courtney Crutchfield and held on to Ashton Bethel-Roman, and then, of course, held on to Jaden Baugh, right now you'd be at 19th in the country. Now, that's a lot of ifs, and ifs don't do anything for you. It doesn't win you games or anything. But, you know, if you throw in even five more mid-range three-star types, you're in the top 25 right now. So, you know, not covering for them, but it's a little bit marginal there, and it's not always what it seems.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, ranking. You're definitely
it's quantity heavy,
right? You're definitely getting, but at the same time, you know, this is the kind of class from a size standpoint, Danny, that you see generally in a transition coaching year.
Yeah.
Where,
yep.
You know, like there's, yeah. We're not just going to go out and sign guys to sign guys. We're going to get the best guys we can and move on. And they did that, but this isn't a transitional coaching year.
That's
Sam
right.
Pittman said, Danny said earlier in the year or late last year, I guess, that he wanted to sign 25 in a class. Like, that was his ideal number. And I think as this season progressed, that became unlikely because 25, you need to have a very healthy football roster if you're going to sign 25. And this is not a healthy football roster. It's a roster that's needed some players to leave. There's talk of, you know, cancers in the locker room and all that kind of stuff and dissension and all this stuff and players just not playing very well and being 4-8 and all the things that come with that. You're not a healthy football roster. Which is why I said my ideal thing, I think for a healthy Arkansas football roster, given, you know, the talent that's in the state of Arkansas, I think it's more like 20 high school recruits and 10 transfers every year. I think that's the best way for Arkansas as a program to build a roster. They're not like Georgia. They're not going to go out and sign 25 and bring in, you know, a handful of transfers. They're not right next to Atlanta or even Dallas, you know. So I think that's I think that's the formula. 20 high school recruits, 10 transfers, when you're healthy, when you have a healthy roster, not necessarily this year.
I'm with you on that, and it's crazy to look up. I mean, you've seen some of these guys, like with Ashton, and, of course, people that follow, he did choose Texas A&M this morning. Not a huge surprise there, but you look up and it's 16 to what, 13 transfers? It's almost 50-50.
Yep.
And that's just, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. It can go both ways, but at some point that catches up with you. And you know, from a depth standpoint, you can't just keep doing that whole roller coaster thing. So I'm with you in terms of stability. I think the 2010 mark is about where I'd like to live to.
Yeah. And it's at 14 right now, Danny, on incoming. So 14 transfers, 16 high school kids. There's going to be more transfers on campus than there are high school recruits because you have four that aren't enrolled early. So 14 transfers, 16 high school recruits. Danny, they're not signing any more high school recruits. They're done with that. They're going to sign some more transfers. I mean, they need another linebacker. They need one or two defensive tackles, one or two defensive linemen, you know. So you're looking at probably something like 19 transfers or maybe even 20, depending on how things go, because you still got spring, a spring transfer portal window. So maybe as much as 20 transfers and 16 high school recruits. It's wild to think about.
Yeah, it's wild. You know, the good news is a lot of those guys have multiple years, not all of them, but, you know, some of them do. So I would think, you know, with the remaining spots, I mean, of course, you can't be too picky. If one guy's got 1 year left and this spring he gets mad at his coach down at Clemson or whatever, wants to hit the portal, if he's a D tackle, of course you take the guy, right, even if it's only for a year. But you do have to be mindful of that because at some point, and we've seen it everywhere, especially at Arkansas, but it will catch up with you from a depth standpoint, depth and health, overall health standpoint. So it's an interesting way to go about it, but I see why they're doing it. You know, they've got to find offensive.
They don't have a choice, Danny.
You've got to overhaul it. You've got to after that.
They do not have a choice but to hit the transfer portal and seek immediate help. Otherwise, they're going to be starting over. and they're not going to be here. I mean, you can't just look at it and say, you can't look at your roster and say, well, we need to bring in 25 high school kids and just ignore the glaring needs that you have at several different positions, linebacker, defensive line, offensive line. You just, you can't do that. So they don't really have any other choice but to do it this way. And secondary as well. They had to go out and get some guys in the secondary. They couldn't just, you know, every secondary guy you get, it's not going to be Selman Bridges or Jalen Braxton, who, guys who are just ready to come right in and contribute out of the gate. So they had to go out and take care of it. Actually, Danny, it's 13. For some reason, we have got –
I think Marquise two, was listed twice somehow.
Two Marquise Robinsons, a high school version and a transfer version. So that's – So it's, the number is 13. But still, you know, I mean, they're going to end up with more transfers than they have high school recruits.
They will. Not done yet. But, you know, going back to the class, Trey, I was just talking to Phil Elson and Matt Jones over there. I was telling them, you know, it sounds crazy when people go and look at the rankings, and I'm sure there's a lot of people watching and listening right now that that's all they care about, you know. But, man, I do like the class. You know, when you take a step back and really look at it, when you go get two top 247 defensive linemen, you get one at the linebacker spot, in addition to a couple other guys who are really coveted, heavily offered types with Wyatt Simmons and Justin Logan. Then in the back end, you mentioned Bridges, another top 247 guy. You got one at each level of the defense. I would have to look that up too, but I can't imagine that's ever happened at Arkansas. So that's kind of a trend that I've been following ever since T-Will got there, really. Just seems like an uptick in the quality that they're getting on that side of the ball. And that's a good thing. You know, we always say, I think nowadays it's been proven by many, many people, but especially at Ole Miss, you can go win 10, 11 games with a middle-of-the-pack defense now. We've seen that at Kentucky and Tennessee a couple of times now. So, yeah, you want all the defensive talent you can get, but comes down to scoring points, man. Got to fix that offensive line. And I like the class as a whole. There's just not enough of them to give you much of a sex appeal in the rankings there, I guess you'd say.
Sex appeal. All right. So, you know, speaking of sexy, I'm really anxious to see Bobby Petrino's offense. I mean, I feel like, you know, when I look at what they've done in the transfer portal this class, like, they need a couple more defensive tackles, in my opinion. They need at least one, but they need, you know, and maybe they can, you know, shift some things around, move some guys inside or something like that here and there. And you know, they've done that on some passing down stuff, but really like to see them get at least one really good quality defensive tackle and preferably two. They do that. Another veteran linebacker, a guy, you know, we talked about this, Danny, maybe who's not. He doesn't have to be
Drew Sanders.
Right. He doesn't have to be Drew Sanders. He can be Antonio Greer, a guy who played G5 and racked up 100 tackles, a veteran guy, a lot of experience, just to boost the experience and age in that room, because they do have some talented young guys, but you don't want to place your hopes on, you know, your bets on just like hope that those guys are going to pan out when sometimes they don't. It happened with the offensive line last year.
Yeah.
But I think that they address issues in the secondary. Now, everybody's a year older also who's returning. I don't know that they got a guy at the same quality as like Al Walcott, you know. But, you know, Jalen Braxton's a year older. Hopefully Selman Bridges can come in and be a Jalen Braxton like, you know, guy as a freshman. I think that the secondary has a chance to be pretty much – when I talk about the defense, I want to talk about the defense before the last quarter of the year when they let go of the rope.
Yeah.
You know, just like not getting any help from the offense, out there battling week in, week out, and, you know, eventually just like, all right. But, like, the defense before that, if that defense shows back up this year and Bobby Petrino does what we think he can do, Bobby Petrino recently ranked on – Chris Phillips' OC power rankings entering 2024, number one in the SEC, Bobby Petrino. I mean, we'll see. I think Bobby Petrino is a hell of a play caller. That's a mouthful.
That's up there.
That's a mouthful.
Pretty good offenses lately around the league.
Definitely. But, you know, if the offense returns to, you know, somewhat similar to when they were, like, putting up 471 yards a game, and, you know, doing some of the things that they did back in 2022, and you get the defense you had in 2023, then maybe we're talking about something here. I do know this. It is a hell of a stretch before before that first bye week. I mean, you the Oklahoma State game, there's Auburn, Texas A&M. Is Tennessee before the bye or after the bye? I can't remember, but it is
I want to say Tennessee's the last one before the
bye. And then after that bye, there's three really tough games, you know. So, like, we're gonna know pretty early. We're going to know pretty early if this
– I just looked it up. That's correct. Yeah. October 5th, Tennessee, and then you get the bye on the whatever that would be, the 12th, I guess, the following week.
So Tennessee's October 5th?
Yeah.
So that's the second home game in Fayetteville, by the way. That's so terrible.
That's pretty rough.
That is, it's so bad, Danny. Like, look at Missouri's schedule.
It's week six, and you're only playing your second home game.
Missouri fans love me. All credit. I want to say this. All credit to Missouri. 11-2.
Absolutely.
Great year. You should be very proud.
They're tough now.
Now, this schedule is – I would love to see Arkansas play this schedule. Not that they would do 11-2 like they did last year.
Sure.
But Missouri opens with Murray State in Columbia, Buffalo in Columbia, Boston College in Columbia, Vanderbilt in Columbia. That's their – that's their first four games. Are you kidding me? 4-0 out of the gate, nationally ranked, and haven't played anybody. Before, they play Texas A&M and College Station. And then they get UMass.
Nice little.
They got to go to Massachusetts, but it's still UMass.
They got to go. They're going there?
They're going there. Yeah, they're going there. And then,
what's happening?
And then, Danny, they get Auburn in Columbia, Like, how many games do they get in Columbia? One, two, three, four, five of their first eight games are in Columbia. And that's all before they face Alabama and Tuscaloosa. They get they have to play OU as one of the new teams, but they get them in Columbia.
Wow.
And then they play South Carolina in Columbia. But it's
that's
the other
tough, man.
It's the other it's the other Columbia. I'm just joking. But Arkansas's in Columbia. They play Mississippi State in Starkville, and Arkansas rounds things out in Columbia. I mean, this schedule is just it's beautiful if you're a Missouri fan. I mean, you used to be like thinking, all right, another 10-plus win season. But you got Arkansas' schedule in front of you? Because I don't.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Read it off.
All right, starting August 31st, you got UAPB in Little
in
Rock.
Little Rock.
Week two, you go to Stillwater.
Yikes.
Yeah, September, we'll just go week three, UAB in Fayetteville. Week four, you got to go to Auburn. So already
at
in the
Auburn.
First 4 weeks, you're going to Stillwater, to Auburn.
What was Auburn's score last year? 48 to what?
48-10, I believe.
Yeah.
Week five, you got to play in Arlington, Texas A&M.
Oh, they're due. They're due to have a good
game. They're due. Then you come back to Fayetteville for Tennessee.
Yep.
And you catch a bye. Then you come back out of the bye with LSU at home. You got to go to Mississippi State. Then you get into Ole Miss at home, followed by your second bye, and then you round out
Texas.
A regular season with Texas, Louisiana Tech, and you're one of the lucky 15 teams that have to go to Columbia, Missouri, to round out.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, these two teams are in the same conference, you know, and those are the schedules. So somebody at Missouri knows how to schedule games, and people at Arkansas do not.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, the thing is, when the initial list, it wasn't a schedule, but your opponents came out first, right? And everybody saw it as, you don't have to play Alabama, thank God. And of course, Nick Saban's gone now.
Yeah. This is before Texas had the year that they had.
Sure, of course. You avoided Georgia and Florida and all these guys. It seemed like it was shaping up to finally be a pretty favorable slate for the Hogs. And then the dates come out and you match that and, man, first 5 weeks, Stillwater, Auburn, and Arlington.
Yep.
Good luck
yep.
when you're coming off, you know, it's desperation mode. You got to have them.
What does Sam Pittman say, Danny? Somebody trying to get me fired.
Hey, I'm with him, man. And dude, he's had it every freaking year like this.
Yep.
It's just been no such luck for Coach Pete.
Yep. Got to play the games that are put in front of him.
That's right.
All right, brother. Anything else to add?
That's it. No, man, we're about to jump into 2025.
Yeah,
putting a bow on this thing. We're starting to talk. I'm just going to throw out a couple of names later on today.
Later on today, you can put them on the website.
Yeah, just
can't give it all away. Right.
Each position and just kind of give a brief snapshot of where things stand on these 2025 guys. But you know, it's time to start paying attention. I know everything moves mm-hmm. up, and it makes it harder and harder. Mm-hmm. Really, from the fan perspective, to really get to dive into the underclassmen, so to speak. I mean, you get in December, you got transfers, you got coaches leaving, players leaving. Then January, you start to get all these junior day visits, right?
Yeah.
People coming to campus, a lot of offers going out. We know that, but people are still honed in on the transfer market. Who else we getting that can help right now?
Yeah.
You know, they don't care about it, but I encourage people. After this dead period ends, I want to say March 3rd, 4th, somewhere in there, we're going to open back up and recruits start getting back on campus. Pay attention, because that's the answers to the test right there. More times than not, you show me where a guy's spending his spring months, I can make a pretty good guess on where he's going to end up.
Yeah. All right, Danny. Appreciate you, man.
You got it.
All right.
Yeah, man.
All right, everybody. That's Danny West. Again, follow him at Danny West 24/7 on X. Danny is almost at 50,000 X followers. I'm trying to omit the word Twitter and never say it again. So Danny's at almost 50,000 X followers. So sign up. You know, that brings up something interesting.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
If you look at the football roster, like how many of these guys that are on Arkansas's football roster projected to start are from the high school ranks, and how many of them are transfers now? Transferred at one time, whenever that was. Quarterback's going to be most likely a transfer unless Malachi Singleton, which is possible. Malachi Singleton comes in and sets the world on fire and shocks us all. It's possible. But most likely going to be a transfer. I would say you probably put that at 75%. At least 75% chance that it's going to be a transfer. Running back, it's Quentin Jackson most likely, possibly Isaiah Augustive, possibly. I stutter every time I say Isaiah Augustive's name because I got to think about, because I'm so used to saying Augustave or something, but I looked into it last year and it's Augustive. But Quentin Jackson most likely going to be the starter there, but potentially, there's the potential because Augustive, DeBinion, Dominic Johnson and Braylon Russell all came from high school ranks. Wide receiver, Andrew Armstrong, Isaac Teslaw, both those guys are going to start. Both of them are transfers. And then probably Isaiah Cetania, I think. Jordan Anthony, possibly, who's a transfer from A&M. Tyrone Broden, who transferred, you know, year before last, or before last season, I should say, from Bowling Green. But most likely, two out of your three starters are transfers there. So let's just say Taylen Green, most likely starter. Jaquinden Jackson, most likely starter. Andrew Armstrong, Isaac Teslaw, and then Isaiah Cetania. This is how I do so much stuff. Like I count on my fingers like this. I've got Danny West still up here. I thought he was gone. I'm counting on my fingers. So I've got 4-1 right now. Tight ends, Luke Haz, definitely. High school guy. Offensive line, Fernando Carmona, Takias Crawford, who I've got penciled in right now. So Takias is a transfer also. Addison Nichols. I'm messing up here. Joshua Braun, Keyshawn Blackstock. So we're talking about every offensive lineman. I mean, I need to stop counting over here and just count on here because I'm going to lose count. So every offensive lineman is a potential former transfer. Now, there's the possibility that some high school guys or some guys that, you know, played for him last year, Patrick Kudus, for example, continue to start. Maybe Kudus gets a look at center. I think that's possible because he played there some in the past. But you're most likely every offensive lineman is going to be a transfer from either this year or past year. Defensive end, Landon Jackson, transfer. Eric Gregory, returning guy from high school ranks. Cam Ball, returning guy from high school rank. Anton Junkaj, transfer. So you've got, we're up to four high school guys now in the whole 20 out of the, well, we'll go special teams also because there's transfer there too. Linebacker, possibly Brad Spence. Xavier Sori would be the other one, transfer. Safety, Hudson Clark High School, Jaden Johnson High School. Nickel, Snacks Johnson, transfer. Cornerback, Jalen Braxton, Marquise Robinson, transfer. Or maybe Jaheim Singleton, transfer. Singletary, excuse me. Special teams, Matthew Shipley, transfer. Punter, Max Fletcher High School. Eli Stein High School. So 10 out of the 25 spots are high school players. Only 10 out of the 25. So most of the Arkansas starters are transfers. I think that's pretty interesting. Maybe you do too. Let me know in the comments below. Speaking of comments below, we got any interesting questions from anybody? Anybody got anything interesting to say? I find with YouTube versus Facebook, when we were streaming live on Facebook, Facebook is questions and YouTube is more just kind of comments and interactions. So if you got a question, let's hear it. 15th in SEC recruiting, 2-7, conference hoop standings, and Stovall with a broken foot. We vibing. Zig Goose, you're right on that. I mean, right before the season starts. I mean, last scrimmage before the season starts, and then you lose Stovall 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, they were just like working with Aloy, like trying to get that chemistry down, and now this happens. But this has been the worst academic sports year since Hunter Yurecek took over in 2018, when the football team won two games. What was baseball 2018? That wasn't the year, was it? Let's see. Because baseball, I mean, like all the pressure is on baseball right now to save us. So 2018, is that right? No, it would have been 2017, 18, I guess is what you would count, right? So that was the year things ended poorly and went great for most of the year. Do we count 18-19 as Yurecek's first full year? If we do, you know, that was another good season, obviously, College World Series. So baseball has been there the whole time that he's been at Arkansas, and first couple years were pretty strong. But, you know, 2018 football won two games. Basketball won 18 games. That was the first year in Mike Anderson's head coaching career that Arkansas didn't win at least 20 games, or that he as a coach didn't win at least 20 games. So this has been the worst year. Football teams won 4 games. Basketball teams 11-11. So there's a chance it could challenge for the worst year. Hopefully, Dave Van Horn seems pretty excited about baseball. You know, he kind of talked about how they kind of sputtered at the end, ran out of gas. He said that's not happening this year. They just got too much. So hopefully that's the case. One more time, 60% off at Hog Sports, HAWGSports.com, 60% off. Obviously, there's not a betting line out, or we check Bet Saracen for the betting line, but there's all kinds of prop bets and interesting stuff on that coming out on Friday, I guess, the day before the game. So go to Bet Saracen, check them out. Make sure you get your bets in. Hog Sports, 60% off, HAWGSports.com, 12 cents a day, 83 cents a week, $358 a month, billed at just $42.96. No promo code or anything required, just go to HAWGSports.com. One more time, I want to welcome Jackson McAfee to the Hog Sports team. You can follow him at J McAfee, that's McAfee, I believe. You can follow him on Twitter there, and he's going to be doing most of our baseball coverage, helping out with everything. I mean, football is always all hands on deck. He'll help on basketball as well. And, of course, Connor Goodson, you can follow him at Connor Goodson, C-O-N-N-O-R, Goodson, on X. Did I say Twitter again? Damn it. On Twitter, on X. God. I cannot get that word out of my mouth. I'm done saying Twitter slash X. I am done. Get yourself a whetstone, Razorback football. Everybody else who wants to sharpen iron with iron, I literally looked it up. Iron is not the best way to sharpen iron. It's this thing right here. So get one of these like me to sharpen your iron. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for Danny West for hopping on. Thanks for the comments. Thanks for the interaction. Go sign up at hogsports.com. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Certainly appreciate that. All right, everybody. This has been Trey Biddy with hogsports.com. We'll catch you next time.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.